How essential is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for Catholics of our age? The answer is a loud and clear, absolutely essential, and on a daily basis, if at all possible. This great lover of the real presence shows his love and devotion in this moving talk. As a master teacher, by repeating, exhorting, warning, pleading, he makes clear the crisis through which the Catholic Church is now going is the worst in its entire history. There have been more martyrs for the faith since 1900 than all the previous centuries put together since the dawn of Christianity, he says. Even though he has compiled irrefutable documentation to support this, how many believe him? Very few. Most American Catholics are living in a dream world, mesmerized, hypnotized, brainwashed by a Luciferian media. When the test came from the Muslims for the thousands of Catholics living along the African Mediterranean coast, almost 100% apostatized. Millions of Americans in the last 30 years have apostatized to many different sects. When our test comes, will we turn our back on the one true church? God forbid. Let's first follow Father Hardin's advice, then get to work and spread this powerful message.
I would like to start with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Queen of the Society of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have been asked to speak on daily communion in the age of martyrs, and perforce I will have to read most of my conference. As we approach a subject as vast and important as this one, I think we had better first explain what we are talking about. To begin with, the subject of this conference is quite frankly an exhortation. I might even call it an imperative. Since we are living in the age of martyrs, we are to receive Holy Communion every day. I consider that verb, we are to receive, a moral obligation. Behind this injunction are four statements that will form the four parts of this presentation. First, we are now living in the age of martyrs. Second, in the early church, all the faithful received Holy Communion every day. Third, therefore, we must receive our Lord daily in the Holy Eucharist, and not only to survive, but to thrive spiritually and derive the marvelous graces that Christ wants to give us, provided we receive Him every day in Holy Communion. And finally, the need behind all the rest for faith in the real presence. First then, we are now living in the age of martyrs. It is now about 10 years. I don't know how many thousands of people I've spoken to about our now living in the age of martyrs. And all I have to do is emphasize and plead with the people to believe we are living in the age of martyrs in our century. If we are to believe that ours is the age of martyrs, we must first understand what a martyr is. A martyr is a Christian believer who suffers and dies as a witness to his faith. So many of my blood relatives have died martyr's death behind the Iron Curtain that I would not be worth with the blood that I've inherited if I did not speak about martyrs to you. History tells us that in the first 3 centuries of Christianity, the followers of Christ expected, that's the verb, they expected to die for Christ. And all the church, since the Second Vatican Council, has rediscovered and is renaming the sacrament of confirmation, what it used to be called in the early church, the sacrament of martyrdom. Thanks. We need to hear that. One persecution after another by Nero, by Decius, by Diocletian. One Roman law after another really sought to destroy Christianity. During my graduate season in Rome, on one of my many trips to Pompeii, you know, the city that was destroyed by a volcanic eruption, 70 AD, on the wall of one of the buildings left standing in Pompeii, I'll never forget, painted with a paint that has lasted 1900 years. Christiani delendi sunt. Christians are to be exterminated. The fact that Christianity was not exterminated, believe me, was no fault of the Roman rulers in the first 3 centuries of the Christian era. Humanly speaking, naturally speaking, by all the laws of politics, psychology, and the social sciences, Christianity would have been and should have been wiped out long ago. Not to know that is not to know. I don't say the ABCs of Christianity. It's not even to know the A of Christianity. The enemies of Christ first did everything they could to destroy Will, the founder of Christianity, and cost them a lot of mazuma. Paid Judas to betray his master. Then paid the guards to watch the tomb so that Christ's disciples would not steal the dead body. And once Christ rose from the dead, and the guards went back and explained, nobody stole the body. He just went. More mazuma. A large sum of money. It is still found in 20th century Jewish encyclopedias. The disciples of Christ stole the body. He's still on part one. What should have happened? By all the laws of both human psychology and social science, Christianity should have been, I repeat, wiped out. Instead, as we know, Christianity thrived. But hear it. I hope you hear it again at least once before you die. Christianity thrives on persecution. Do you hear me? Christianity had literally to go underground. The 60 miles, no less, the 60 miles of catacombs under the city of Rome testify to the subterranean character of the church from Nero to the Edict of Milan. We return to our own 20th century. Is this the century of martyrs? It is. There have been more men, women, and children who shed their blood for Christ since 1900 than all the previous 1900 years before put together. When I put that into print, the editor back and said, "That's an exaggeration. Show me some written statistical proof for your statement." I send him pages of proof. He wrote back, "All right, all right." In Africa alone, in this century, there have been several million Christians starved to death or otherwise destroyed, mainly because they refused to deny that Mary is not only the mother of Esau, the Arabic name for Jesus, well, that she is the mother of Allah, the mother of God. In the Quran, every Christian who believes in Christ's divinity is an idolater. And over the years of teaching Islam, I've never omitted passage after passage in which the Quran tells its followers, do everything in your power to convert these idolaters. If you don't succeed, kill them. Over 2 million starved to death in the Sudan alone, in this century. You don't read that in the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times. For the past year, I have the privilege of living in the same community with one of my fellow Jesuits from China. He had been arrested and put in prison in 1958. Spent 25 solid years in confinement. A year ago, same community, I live with another fellow Jesuit. This one, 28 years in confinement in China. What a thrill to be talking across the table to a fellow Jesuit who has lived a martyr's life. And what joy for the two of us to spend the morning meditation an hour together before the Blessed Sacrament. We in America have no illusions about this being the age of persecution. Pardon me. We in America should have no illusions. As I've told so many people, we Americans are the most hypnotized, the most mesmerized, the most brainwashed people, I believe, in human history. What some of us have still to believe is to be convinced that ours is also and consequently the age of martyrs. In the early church, not all professed Christians were martyrs. I needed to do this. Go back to the early history of the church. I repeat, in the early centuries of Christianity, not all professed Christians were martyrs. By no means. There were hypocrites, those who claimed to be Catholics, but compromised their faith. There were apostates, many apostates. One reason why Christ allowed one of his own chosen apostles to betray him was to prepare us to recognize apostasy even among church leaders. Like all the bishops of England in the 16th century, except St. John Fisher, Bishop of the Diocese of Rochester, and not coincidentally, the American English translation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church is to be issued on the feast of St. John Fisher and Thomas More, June 22nd of this year. Talk about the Pope choosing dates. What we need to know, and we better know it, is that we are now living in the greatest age of martyrs since Christ was crucified on Calvary. This statement should be reworded. Christ, in his mystical body, which is the church, is now undergoing such crucifixion as he has not undergone for 19 centuries since Calvary. So far, part one. Part two. Daily communion in the early church. The whole history of early Christianity is eloquent witness to the practice of daily Mass and reception of Holy Communion by the faithful. We could quote from a dozen fathers of the Church in evidence of the fact I've just mentioned. I'll quote from only one. A great writer, a doctor of the church, a bishop, and a martyr. Writing about 250 A.D. In context, Saint Cyprian, by the way, Northern Africa. Where Islam wiped out Christianity almost completely by the 8th century. In context, Cyprian is writing an explanation of the Lord's Prayer. And his commentary on the Our Father is one of the masterpieces of biblical literature in the church. Cyprian is explaining the meaning of the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." I quote from Saint Cyprian, a little long, but worth the full quotation. "We pray, have the bread be given to us daily, so that we who are in Christ and daily receive the Eucharist as the food of salvation may not, by falling into some more grievous sin, and then by abstaining from communion, be withheld from the heavenly bread and be separated from Christ's body. Christ himself warns us, saying, 'Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you.'" Unquote. "Therefore, do we ask that our bread, which is Christ, be given to us daily, so that we who abide and live in Christ may not withdraw from his sanctification and from his body." Unquote, Saint Cyprian. Our second part, therefore, is on daily Holy Communion in the early church. Everyone, if I don't prod your consciences to receive communion every day as a result of this conference, I have wasted your time.